I feel that an entire lifetime has been lived between last episode and this episode. But it's only been... I don't know what days are. Let's go.
I get paid to take my clothes off.
But... Right air? Right air already? SD card is too slow? This is a fresh start. A fresh start to take us into a fresh year. Not quite. By the time this episode comes to everyone... It will not be a new year, but we'll be reaching the end of the year. And what better way to end the year than with a fresh, clean slate? An SD card, if you will, a brand new, shiny SD card that perhaps I will have to get in the new year to usher in 2026 because these right airs are driving me crazy. Crazier than normal. All right, let's try this again. 3, 2, 1,
I get paid to take my clothes off, but here I bear it all for free. Welcome to the totally wholesome, not dirty podcast where sex work meets self-work and we laugh through the chaos one in a pro.
Such a banger. Honestly, once again, shout out to Gantasmo and Daniel Trujillo. Wait, nope, that up. I had a little bit of a puff to keep it tough this morning, and I'm having trouble enunciating, so that's the kind of show that it's going to be. But let's be honest, can we really expect anything less? I just got back from shooting reality TV. What? Yes, and I can actually say reality TV with certainty because I don't care that it's OFTV. I don't care. Do you know how many people watch OFTV? I had no idea. It's a huge platform and it's crazy. And they were like, oh, do you want to come be on the show? And I was thinking this, that, and the other thing. And I don't even know what I was thinking. To be honest, going in, I had absolutely no expectations whatsoever. I was just checking to make sure the SD card was still recording because a right air is what brought us into this episode to begin with. And we've been having a lot of those lately. I'm having a right air in my brain. Like, I feel melted. It was a great experience. It's just, man, I don't know what I thought that it was going to be, but it was such a cool production. They had a crew of more people. Listen, when you are on a horn set and you are filming a hornography, there's maybe like, I think the biggest crew that I've ever seen and like experienced on a hornography set is, that's a great way to say that instead of the P word. Anyway, so I think maybe the biggest was like without talent, 10 people max, right? This production, I was like, are we making a movie, like an actual movie? This is crazy. They had these huge lights that like stretched to the sky and these big like giant bounces and the wind was going crazy. And they had like 60, I think they had, they said between 65 and 75 people, right? And I was like, why not just say 69? Why not just say 69? And then we could all say, nice. But I think it was like, it was insane. They had food for us. And they were really, really long days. But like, aside from the bits of sitting around, it was still fun because they kind of kept things engaging. And all the other people, all the other like talent, I guess if you want to say, who were there were like really nice and fun to talk to. And everybody's just vibing and having a good time. The makeup artists were amazing. I got my hair braided. Shout out, Painted by Brian. I've never had... It was an experience. Maybe I'll just make this a clip just to like promo Brian. Because Brian was a real one. I have no feeling really in my scalp. Okay? Because my mother, God rest her soul, she is still alive, I think. I don't know. We don't talk anymore. But she used to, just French braid my hair so tightly against my head that like any nerve endings I had like once in my scalp are gone. They're severed. They might still be there, but they are so traumatized that they aren't going to alert me of anything really happening to my head. Although, you know, I just remember feeling like My eyes. Maybe that's why my eyes are so big. Sometimes I get people commenting on like how big my big, you know, fish eyes are. But maybe that's because all of those years of her just stretching back my scalp, like giving me these facelifts before I even knew that that was a thing that I would ever consider someday. I'm not considering it now. And you don't have to. Here's the thing. If you, so I keep hitting the mic. I love that I got headset so I would not hit the mic and still I continue to hit the mic. You don't need to get a facelift. If you go to Brian, Brian will snatch you up so cleanly. It was insane. I was like, I don't know if I needed to get Botox before this trip because as many of you know, I got myself injected with Botox preemptively to this trip because I was having trouble hiding my facial expressions. And there's a thing where I think that I'm really good at masking, but instead I realize that I'm not. And as soon as I stop Botoxing my face, the expressions come out and it just gives away anything that I could possibly be thinking. So I was like, I just need to like completely RBF it, you know? And, you know, this is not to like mean mug or anything, although it did help with mean mugging in the competition, let me tell you. Not a lot of good it did me. Coming soon. I can't say anything about what happened really, but I'm just describing the experience overall. And it was a good experience and it was fun and I'm glad that I went. This is back to Painted by Brian. Because Mr. Brian, sir, number one, amazing fashion taste. And secondly, it didn't hurt at all, but it was like this precision that he had and he was just going in and just braiding and he got through all of this like mane of hair. This, my hair looks so beautiful and beach wavy right now because of Brian, because unfortunately I did have to finally take out the braids because I slept in them and I was on a plane in them and that's disgusting. And I don't know what it is about Florida, but I wake up in the middle of the night completely like twisted in sheets multiple times throughout the night, even with the air conditioning on, because it's just the humidity and I sweat and it's disgusting. I just really become a truly foul creature. I woke up one morning, sorry, Brian, that was probably a little terrible shout out. I don't even know if that's going to make the cut, but y'all listen. Just go interact with Brian's stuff because he's awesome and he deserves it. Now, getting back from this, because of those braids, because I had to like keep all of my, you know, bangs and shit out of my face, when I got that hair snatched back, I woke up one morning and I was like, dear God, there were like 700 pimples on my forehead. I hope that that doesn't really come out in the videos, but it probably will. So just know when this series comes out, if you see me on a particularly pimply day, just understand that I truly tried my best. I did everything I could to be like a star. Do you know what I mean? I was like, if I'm going to do this and like really go outside my comfort zone, which I realized the thing. I thought that this show would be going outside of my comfort zone. I hope that any of this is cohesive because I don't really understand what's happening right now in my brain. There's just so much that I have to process, y'all. And it has been like the busiest month of the year and it's not even over yet. So sorry for that. I have my little keychain on my sippy cup and it's just brushing into the microphone for all of you who are only listening. If you want to see video episodes, you can just take your fine ass to youtube.com/@TWNDpodcast and you can just like watch videos. You can also join at patreon.com/TWNDpodcast if you want no ads, Zoom chats, day early releases, and all that other fun stuff. Where was I going with this? Oh, I thought that this was going to be outside of my comfort zone. And so I'm like, do it. You can do this. Get on a plane. Go there. Do the thing. You're not going to win. You know that. But maybe I did. You'll have to stay tuned to find out. You just never really know, do you? That's the wonderful thing about life. You don't know until you know. You can't know until you experience. And I realize that this is not outside of my comfort zone. It's not. Maybe the interactions outside of set, being on any sort of set where there are cameras and lights is where I come alive. I'm just weird. I don't care. And I like being a f-ing clown in front of an audience. You're telling me that there are 50 plus people who might see me do something stupid and think about it later. And I kind of like haunt them in a way that probably isn't even something that happens, but that's what my brain thinks. I'm just like, I'm a performer. I love it. It's so much fun. You get to have your makeup done. You have people touching up. Oh, can you just like get under my eyes? Oh, like, does this look good? Oh, like, tell me how good I'm doing. Aren't I so entertaining? Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm a disgusting pig person. I am a truly disgusting pig person. I am just a slut for attention. It is crazy. But then at the end of it, I'm like, you know what I'm doing? Do you know what I'm doing? I'm reading Ernest Hemingway on the beach. Y'all, reading Ernest Hemingway on a beach, there's something that's truly magical about it. It's not something that I knew that I needed in my life, but I realized that, like, between the things that I wanted to do, like, I spent a whole day, like, just training by myself, like, doing these things. I did something. All right. Y'all might remember. Holy shit, I'm a new person. Not because of this trip, but this trip made me realize how much I have changed as a person this year. And I had no notion that that was going to be a thing that happened when I started 2025. Let me tell you. It was crazy. Because, so I thought on this trip, like, I'll have maybe some downtime. No downtime. There's not downtime on the sets. And that was totally fine. I'm not, it's not like a complaint. But I thought there was going to be something that it wasn't. Now, holy shit. So I don't know if I can talk. I don't know if I can talk too much. But let's just say day one, I got a lot of like personal attention because I got to do a lot of BTS stuff. And oh, God, it was just so fun. And then, wait, where was I going with that? I mean, live, like, attention, being able to withdraw. How much I've changed as a person. Holy shit. So one of the evenings, I took out one of my notebooks. I'm like, I'm just going to start like writing what I think and blah, blah, blah. And then that didn't happen because I got distracted by other things and people. And then I did something that I never like thought I was going to do. And it was amazing. So I'll tell you this, because this has nothing to do with the show. This has everything to do with the realization that I had on this trip. And it made me very, very happy. And I'm so glad that it was an experience I had. Now, some of you may be new to listening to the show. And some of you may have been listening for a long time. So you may recall, and for those of you who don't, an episode or two or more where I discuss, like, how loathsome to me the idea of going out to eat at a place alone is to me. I am a new being. I don't know who I am anymore, but I have really been enjoying the experience of the introduction and the learning of who I have become. I took myself out alone with a notebook, a pen, a book, and my own ass to a fancy restaurant. I took myself out for a steak dinner, followed by key lime pie. Now, there was, I got just escorted to my table. Oh, are you waiting for someone? No, I'm not. It's just me. It's just me. It's just me on a patio with the ocean air just kissing all over my goddamn face as I watch the sunset and I watch all of the pine, not pine. Why am I saying pine? Palm trees just swaying as the sun sets, the colors are changing, the entire light shifts, and I am just there with a steak and a smile on my face, sparkling water in hand, reading, writing. Oh, no one to interrupt my thoughts, no one to like be worried about, oh, am I looking this way? Or am I looking like I'm paying attention enough to what they're saying? I can just sit here and fully enjoy a meal alone. Yeah, it was amazing. And what made it even better is I opened this notebook that I think is a fresh notebook because I haven't pondered it. I haven't had time this entire trip. And this is the last day I'm there. I found 5 frenzied pages that I had written towards the end of 2024. Wait. Nope. Yes. Yes. The end of 2024. Sorry. I'm really bad with numbers right now. As some of y'all have seen from my recent like deadlift video, like it's a problem. I'm not even thinking about numbers. I don't even think in numbers anymore because time isn't real and this is insane. Now, I had forgotten that I had written these, and only because like I remembered in the moment that I'm reading this, when I wrote this, was the only reason I could decipher this. This was like handwritten so harshly that like there's parts of the pages that are torn. It was this moment, and I remember when I wrote it, and I was feeling so dark, so depressed, so completely lost. I drove out like to the mountains in Vegas, and like just screaming, and like I reached this point that like I just had nothing left. I couldn't say anything else, and I just drove as far as I could. Then I hiked up as far as I could, just like in this blur that I can't even remember, until I got to the edge of this big rocky outcropping. And it sounds like a movie, because everyone's life is a movie. It's just that you live so much life that you forget these little moments until you're reminded of them. And that's why some people are like, oh, I don't journal or whatever. I think there is so much to be gleaned from journaling, because even reading back old writings from past years, but you miss and like forget so much, because you just, life doesn't stop until it ends. And so there's sometimes you forget things that you even could reflect on if you don't take the time to remember them. And it really hit me, because everything flooded back like in that moment, as I'm just like enjoying my steak, starting to like read this dark writing, right? But it wasn't even really dark. It was hollow. And I remember that feeling of like emptiness at the time. And I was like, I can't really get into too much, you know, because some things aren't my business to tell. And some things I just don't think like need to be shared. And I've shared those moments in writing, which I think is a more powerful thing for me than articulating it verbally. See, I promise I can write so much better than I speak verbally. Now, but having that all come back, right, and seeing that darkness and that hopelessness and that hollow, aching emptiness that you just feel like you're not going to get rid of, and you feel even guiltier for having it because you shouldn't have it, because on the surface, everything is fine or good even, and this directionlessness and this dependency and this like unshakable feeling that it will always be that way, you know? And reading that writing and seeing how I had felt in the moment before I rediscovered that writing, I know I'm never going to feel hollow or empty again. But I, this year, have filled that void with, not with people. It's not been with people or experiencing things with people or like consuming other people, and not in a way of like, oh, like, but like consuming like their thoughts or opinions or this. And it's not that like I haven't had any of that, but for so long, like I just did it with person after person after person. And then when you're dependent on people, you realize that like as soon as they're gone, it's like, well, what do you have? And I've never like put myself like purposefully until this year in a position to make time to sit with myself and figure out what makes me feel full. And now I'm literally at a point that when I do get to spend my time with people who add to that joy, I'm literally in a point of overflowing, bro. It's crazy. I'm like squirting my happiness everywhere, dude. I cannot keep it inside. Ugh. And the darkness comes, but I've had just this sense of like so much gratitude, because starting to write the book series and believing in myself so strongly and letting something that is of my own creation and my own excitement, like, fill me in this way. It's been so cool. It has been such a rewarding experience, and like focusing even more on my fitness and, or not even just fitness, but overall health. I quit vaping this year. So many people don't realize what a huge milestone that was for me, but like making that decision and actually like sticking to it and committing to it. I didn't even like there. And what was crazy is on the set, and this is like no hate to anyone, because trust me, I understand, and it's a thing everyone does, but there are people vaping on set, and I was like part of me was like, why not? They're offering, you can just have a hit, you could just have a little bit, like, what, it's not, it's fine. And I didn't, and I even had that thought come back, like, it would be fine because it's just like a one-time thing, you're not gonna buy more. That came into my head, and I was like, oh, get out. Not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. Satan, we can do plenty of other things, but that is not going to be one of them. I quit it. I'm super, super proud of myself. All of these things that have just made me feel like now, so many times in the past when I go into wanting to seek a friendship with someone and to like create this bond and this unshakable bond, I put so much of myself into this person because I just wanted to feel that connection and that bond and like feel like it's never going to end. But you can't ever control that. You can't. And it's so, I think it's codependent. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist. I have no idea about anything, but I'm not dependent, dude. I don't need people to like me because I am at a point that, like, I think what it was is I was like, if I have enough people that like me, I will like me. Because if enough people like me, fans, friends, business relationships, romantic relationships, if just enough people can prove to me that I am likable, then I will like myself. But it is never enough, because you don't believe it, because deep down, no one else can convince you to like yourself. Deep down, you have all of that guilt and all of that shame and all those things that you hate about yourself. And other people don't take that away. Other people could even encourage you to stop those things, right? But other people can also encourage you to continue those things and tell you that they're fine and that they're okay for you and make you second guess yourself. And then you start to know that you're like, you know, it's not okay. So you know that people are reinforcing you to do things that you know that you shouldn't do, that they don't have your best interest in heart, because they also want to feel validated in the things that they're doing. And I understand that. I truly do. But I can't do it anymore. And I'm not going to. And that feels so good. Oh, like I could cry. I'm emotional, dude. I am emotional. Oh, it is like this burden has just been straight up lifted from my chest. It is crazy. And maybe I'm just being manic right now, but I don't think so, because this has been this upward trajectory, and it's what I wrote to myself. Those thoughts that I wrote as like a third person view on myself. It's totally different. If I look at myself objectively now, I'm new, guys, gals, ladies, men, they, thems, Zers, whoever the f*** is listening right now. Do you know you can just like shed your skin and become a different person? Not a different person, but kind of a changed person. You can be a person who likes yourself. You can be a person who changes your life. You can be a person who has experienced all of the things that you have. You can be a person who terrible things have happened to. You can be a person who has done terrible things. You can be all of that. And you can make that, all of these experiences, into something that feels completely new, but can still understand all of those other pieces. And you don't have to be shackled to that. You can just like, you know what? You can just like, you know, make it, you know, like, what is it? Who made the skin lamps? Who did that? You can just like take your old skins that you shed and make them into lamps that you kind of like see and you remember, and they illuminate things about your current life. Be weird with it. You can be as weird as you want, and nothing matters. None of that matters. What matters is the quest to become a better person. And I'm not even going to be this same person next year. In 2026, everything is going to change again. Everything, because everything does. Everything always changes, and that's fine. But you can change in a way that's positive. Everything changes, sure, but like keeping in patterns, that ages you, bro. Don't do it. Let go of those bad patterns. You don't need them. Like, why? Like, you don't have to be friends. Don't be friends with people who don't like you. People, oh, why don't you have as many friends? I have heard the way some people talk about their friends. If that is the way that people talk about their friends, how are they talking about you? I don't talk about my friends that way. If someone is my friend, I don't speak of them disparagingly to others. If I have a problem with someone who I consider a friend, I talk to that friend. I don't bring it to other people because it's nobody else's business. Like, I don't know. You can just change. And it's really cool. So I'd actually be curious what some of y'all have found changed in 2025. Because I don't know. For me personally, I have had just so many changes, so many experiences that are just like, what the f***? This year, I had no idea what was going to happen this year. And I have some fun plans for next year that I don't want to talk about yet. I'm working in the shadows, y'all. I am doing shadow work and I am so excited. And these are things I'm like keeping to myself that I am just so stoked to do that I don't even want to tell anybody. I'm not even telling like anybody. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And you're just going to have to wait and see if maybe you figured out or not. So, whoo. I'm feeling stoked. Also, so fun fact, we are, shout out to Yahoo. There was a Yahoo Media article about the 26 podcasts to watch upcoming blah, blah, blah in 2026. These are like the rising podcasts. And guess who was on it? You bitch. That's me. Totally wholesome, not dirty podcast. Number 23 of the top 26 podcasts to watch up and coming in 2026. Up and coming is hilarious because we've been going for over 4 years. However, super cool to be featured there. Maybe David can be like, there it is. Yeah, we got featured. So that's really cool. So do be sharing with a friend. Do be sharing and interacting with the clips also on social media. Like, seek them out, please. Like, I implore you because, you know, I think those people need to hear the good word and the positivity, man, because like, that's so cool. And I want to get some cool guests on too in 2026. I think that'll be really cool. I'm planning things. There are things that I want to happen and I'm going to make them happen. Because guess what? You can. All right. Also, speaking of interactions, yay, no right errors. Okay. I should check my notes and see if I actually did make notes today because I know things have been all over the place. McRib. Okay. So I was driving back to the airport from, this is not where I was going with this. Hang on. God, I have to remember to drink water. Okay. The McRib. I had to drive to the airport so early in the morning to come back from where I was for the TV reality TV thing. Also, I realize that I am not a reality TV person. I love like the experience of the set, but like I am competitive, so there are things that I was like, But overall, I was like, I don't think reality TV is for me, bro, because I'm just not very good at interacting with other people. I'm kind of like a weird one-man show. But I think I am good interacting with, like, people. I was much better. I was much more, like, engaging and, like talking to people than I normally am in other years. And I met a lot of cool people. And I know that sometimes people probably just think I'm, like, such a bitch because I really do keep to myself, like, offset, or even sometimes I'll just be, like, zoning out, like, in between breaks and stuff like that. So people must think that I am just so rude. And, you know, I'm not. I'm sorry. Like, I'm one of those people, you know, it's okay. What do you say instead? Because I'm not sorry. Because you're making an assumption that I'm a bitch. So I'm not sorry that you had that assumption. I don't know how to phrase that in a way, because I'm trying not to say sorry so much, because you don't have to be sorry. And most of the time, let's be honest, we're not actually sorry for the things we say sorry for. Say excuse me, not sorry. Now, so excuse me that's just my face. Excuse me, I do need some time to process my own thoughts or just completely zone out and think about nothing when there's that much like sensory overload, which is very exciting. But it's like I need these. Do you know what it is? It's like my recharge moments. Like, I would just go and just, like, stretch or just, like, kind of sit and, like, stare into the void. And those are just moments where I imagine that I'm, like, a wireless charging device, right? And I'm just, like, waiting to power up. I'm just rebooting. And then, like, I'm back in it. You know what I mean? But I know that can probably seem very rude to to a lot of people, which, like, I don't know, man. Not everybody processes things the same way. Oh, also, let me just tell you that, like, straight up tism stare really helped with, like, mean mugging people, which they wanted us to do for, like, you know, some of those cool, like, behind the scenes shots where it's, like, teams are, like, going at each other. So they're, like, get, like, really aggressive with your face. And I do the thing where I dead eye and I, like, stare into the center of someone's forehead. And it's funny to see in real time, while there are cameras involved, how uncomfortable it makes people. And I'm a sick f-. I like a quick f-. I like a quick f- around, because it's, I don't know, it's so funny to me because it doesn't bother me, but it's just something that kind of tickles me when you see people get uncomfortable. Not in like you know, whatever, like, I guess it's all kind of a weird way if you think about it. Oh, I am just weird. Yeah, that's fine. All right, whatever. So anyway, that's not where I was going with that. The McRib. What the f-? Was that just like a 5-minute sidebar from the McRib? That's insane. So I saw a McDonald's glowing with its beautiful golden arches in, you know, the dim, hazy light of the South mornings. And I just saw the McRib on a sign. And I was like, everyone was obsessed with the McRib, right? I don't think I liked the McRib. I can remember eating the McRib because everyone's always like, oh, the McRib, it's so good. And you're like, oh yeah, I like the McRib. But you just eat it. But did anyone ever like the McRib? I thought it was gross. It's like, feels, in my mind, I remember it being like fatty. And like this weird rubbery texture that you're like, this isn't actually rib meat. I don't even know like what this meat is. Like, and I don't know, man. The McRib just sounds disgusting. And I don't know if anyone has ever actually liked it. If you actually enjoy the McRib, could you please write in to the podcast, twndpodcast@gmail.com. Give me a nice catchy, you know, title, or I might not open it. So, speaking of, that was the other thing that I was thinking of earlier. I would be curious to hear if any of you have stories to share about like how things have changed for you this year. That might be like a really cool way to end the year with, you know, another episode, or to start the year with another episode, is to get some reactions and interaction from all of y'all about what's been going on. So you can email the podcast, twndpodcast@gmail.com, catchy headliner. You can also leave voicemails at 702-900-6446. That would be very cool. And speaking of, look at me just segueing like a goddamn pro. We have some emails as well. And I'm going to cross off the McRib. I don't know why I wrote, like, just McRib. So funny. Oh, my God. Podcast. So, all right. First we have, let me make sure that it's okay. Rick. All right. This is from Rick, one of our dirt bags, and this is about Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law is what can go wrong will go wrong. Yes. Dude, that's so funny. Like, back in the day on, sorry to sidebar once again, but I'm not sorry because I know that you enjoy it and that you understand that I'm trying to relate to a story before I read yours. Now, also, it's my show. I can do whatever I want. Because nothing matters. Back in my webcam days where it's just like webcamming all the time, we would call it Molly's Law because everything that would go wrong always did. And always has, like today. Try to record an episode. Oh, there's a right air. Why? There's not now. There hasn't been a right air for 34 minutes. Knock on wood. Here, I'm gonna knock on this boner over here. There's a little pillow. Y'all can't see him. Because everything always went wrong. So let's. Wow, cool story, Molly. Tell it again. Thanks. I will. I'll make it 20 minutes longer. All right. Ugh, I forgot about the coffee and it went lukewarm. What is worse than Molly's Law? Anything that can go wrong, will. Case in point. This is back to Rick. My unit was going to a camp near West Point, New York. My supply team load up a military vehicle with equipment and supplies. A group of us were supposed to leave a day early to set up the place we were going to train at. And the day we were supposed to leave, we couldn't get the ammo because a box wasn't checked off. We couldn't get the box checked off till morning, so we left main body the next day. We got multiple problems with where we could store our equipment. We had to move the supplies multiple times. The sleeping quarters we thought had two bays turned into only one bay, and we had to move out of one bay. We went to borrow weapons from a unit nearby with our military vehicle, and the military vehicle wouldn't work. Then we had to ask another unit to help transport weapons, ruin the day of weapons training, so we got a late start for training. Then we found out that I forgot the magazines, so we had to borrow magazines as well. We had arranged with the unit to turn in their weapons that evening, but had postponed till the next morning when we started training late. In the morning, we went to turn in weapons. We arrived 5 minutes late. The person we were meeting had to leave early, so we had to wait a few hours for somebody else to show up. This is amazing. Since we were delayed in turning weapons, we couldn't get back to our unit to help back up to leave that day when we arrived back to the camp. Since our truck was broken down, we borrowed another vehicle from a unit at the camp, and some soldiers who drove down had to use their car to help bring supplies back to our home base because the vehicle was small. Oh. We had to return the borrowed vehicle that day, and I had arranged someone to follow me back the next morning to drop off the vehicle, but they had to cancel because of an issue at home. Jesus Christ, dude, is this like never going to end? Finally, something good happened. A few soldiers were at the base closing out our stay. One of the soldiers was headed up to our home base for a training class, and he offered me a ride back to home base. This turned into a nightmare training exercise and a learning experience. I label this as Murphy's Law from Hell training exercise. Murphy's Law will anytime, anywhere, any place. Thanks for this TED Talk, Rick. Yes, that is absolutely true. Speaking of Murphy's Law, sorry. When I said speaking, it just reminded me of the TikTok sound that says,
speaking to me is a privilege. You do not have privileges.
And that's, it just went through my mind. Anyway, what is wrong with me? So much. Now, what would life be without Murphy and Molly's Law? You might as well just call me Miss Murphy, because now a bitch goes hard before she goes home. Let me just tell you this. I'm going to warn you, is probably going to be in content for a while. This is disgusting. I left a piece of myself on that set. Many pieces, actually. And this is no one's fault but my own, because I had to dive. I don't know what to tell you. I see a ball falling, I have to dive. And I'm bad at falling because no one else got f***ed up like this. Now, I also have like super sensitive skin, I think, perhaps. I don't really know. But these things happen to me and I don't think about them. I mean, I showed up on set with like a up hand from just breaking up the dogs, and I don't think about it. People are like, what happened to your hand? Oh, it's fine. I don't even think about it once it happens, right? So I scuffed up my leg, and if you can see hair on it, go f*** yourself. Yeah, I can't shave this. What do you want me to f***ing do? Now, I forget that other people don't have my sensitivity, or that I don't have other people's sensitivities. The other people have sensitivities that I don't have. I forget how to be sensitive. I'm just not a sensitive person. Now, so plasma was going down my leg. You know, so for, remember y'all when I wiped out rollerblading and I got road rash, right? And I was like oozing all the orange and stuff like that. Yeah, that was happening again on my leg. And I just like didn't really pay attention. And I just kind of like let it do whatever, forgetting that other people don't want to see that. And people kept saying, oh my God, are you okay? I was like, what? Oh, this? Yeah, 'tis but a flesh wound. Nobody also understood when I was saying 'tis but a flesh wound. No one understood it, and it made me sad. And if they did, they didn't acknowledge it, which is even sadder if you think about it, because they're like, what the f*** is wrong with her? But so I went to the medic. So they're like, you have to go to the medic. And he's like, well, oh, dude, oh, that's terrible. You want peroxide? And I'll wipe it down. And he's like, this is going to sting. It didn't really sting. Like, here's the thing. Like, people don't understand about the pain. And if I don't feel the pain, then I don't think about the pain. And then I just like forget it's there. And honestly, I felt like, all right, got it all cleaned up, put this gauze on it or whatever. I feel like that was a worse move than just like letting it air out and just have sand on it. Like my mom always used to say, rub some dirt on it. So like because listen, once it got wrapped and then it was under that wrapping all day, right? Tight, close to the skin, humidity, still sweating, doing all this other stuff. I got into the shower that night thinking I could just soak this off my leg. Nope. Had to rip it. Had to, Molly's Law, Murphy's Law, had to finally rip it because I let it soak for so long and it was so like embedded in my 'tis but a flesh wound that I had to just rip it off, which I think ended up feeling so much worse than if I had just let it, you know, get coated in sand and just wash it off later. But I don't know, it was a whole ordeal. But I do forget that it grosses out other people. It just, I don't know, it doesn't affect me at all. Anyway, I think there was another email as well. That was another big sidebar. Not sorry about it. All right. Let me too check my notes to see if... No, I'm not going to talk about the books anymore. Not this episode anyway. All right. Okay. An overdue letter. Hi, Molly. Another David. I know. Ew. It's not you. I do know so many Davids. It's crazy. David is a very popular name. I have left messages on YouTube before, but I lost a device to old age and I no longer have an account. Still watching, I just can't comment anymore. I've been watching for about half of the episodes and this is a must watch every 2 weeks pod. I have mentioned before how much I love the solo episodes. They keep getting better, more perfect, more exactly what you want to say. More perfect? Thank you so much, David. Oh, wait. I understand why you said, I know, ew. Wait. Is that from Schitt's Creek where she's like, ew, David? Okay, sorry. What am I talking about? Okay. Episode 198 is probably my favorite. Okay, I don't even remember what that is. So I just need to look. I need to know which one is your favorite. I'm actually really curious which episodes are people's favorites. Another thing that would be great to end the year too is a little recap on what your favorite episodes of the year have been from anyone who listens. That'd be really cool to hear. And maybe we could do like, because I'm going to be traveling as well, so we could do like little snippets of old episodes. So that would be really awesome if you guys could write in and like just let me know like what your favorite episodes were. That'd be really cool. All right, episode 198. Let me see. God, that was a long time ago. Holy shit. Missed me with the... friendship burnout. Oh, the root the root people one. Yes, the tree analogy. That was, damn, that was a really long time ago. The pride of finishing the first of many books, the epic response to an easily offended listener who obviously had never listened to George Carlin's seven words bit, even the now classic Get Soul ad read. But I think this week's episode might be even better. You lamented that you feel that you are being too repetitive and that no one is listening. First, I'm no one. Hi. Second, sometimes things need to be repeated. Among them, the fact that toxic relationships suck, there are no easy fixes, and that you could never, ever go back to one. Because doing that would reanimate the dead thing, and at best, make you relive the bad, and at worst, make you think that there is a way back. Maybe, eventually, we have to forget the good and the bad and move forward. So many people are looping the worst parts of their life. I hate that you have had to recount your bad experiences, but know for certain that many are finding their way because they see... oh! They see how you have found your way. Bitch, don't make me cry. What are you doing right now, David? Ew, David. Ew. Ew. This is disgusting. What's wrong with you? I'm going to cry. I'm not going to cry. Ah. Dude, what the? Oh, tell me you can't handle emotion without telling me that you can't handle emotion. Jesus God. Okay. Because I know for certain that many are finding their way because they see how you have found your way. Thanks, David. That's how I have to read it or I get emotional. We have watched you build the life you want on your terms. We have seen you rise above the past and prioritize your life and art and dreams. You are many things: entertainer, writer, artist, dog mom to three, athlete, and podcaster. But far above all of these is the fact that you are authentic. Not by accident, but because you refuse to settle for being less. Okay, nobody write in about this anymore, or that's how I'm going to read. That's how I'm going to read future emails that are too nice. Stop being sappy. It's weird. Be mean to me. It's why I told my coach. Spoiler alert. Also, don't be hard on yourself about the nicotine struggle. Weak people enunciate, bitch. David didn't write that. I said that. Don't attempt difficult things, and that is as difficult as it gets. Keep at it. It is no match for you. Also, cranberry sauce kind of goes with everything at Thanksgiving. Thank you. I just use it like butter. Yes. Thank you, David. Ugh. All right. Always good. See you in 2 weeks. Sending love and salutations, David M. Bitch. What the f***? Y'all, that's... Put your foot on my shoulder. Get the f*** out of here. God damn. Didn't like that. Sorry. Not sorry. So, the solo episodes. Yeah. It's interesting. It's been an interesting experience because that is how I started the show in a way, but it never really has been. That's what's kind of been interesting because ever since the very beginning, I was a solo host, but I usually had guests. I had very, very infrequently did I do solo episodes. I think I had like 1 week I did them, but I think the most I ever did was my first trip to Australia. I was doing solo episodes. But I have been doing them more and more, and it's been interesting. Like, for a while, I would start to, like, get really stressed out and be like, oh, like, I have to have enough things to talk about. What if I don't have things to say? Or what if it doesn't resonate? And I was even getting down on myself where I would do an episode, record what I knew was enough time, but, like, for some reason, I would have this, like, dread about, because when you talk for almost an hour or sometimes more, it's like you you can't necessarily hold on to every little thing that you've said. It's kind of like why you have those bits with the writing, where it's like when you can go back, read something that you wrote and feel exactly as you felt in that moment. It's kind of like that, where you forget it. It's still there, but after an episode, I can't remember half the things I talked about. And I would start to get this dread or panic of like, well, what if it's terrible? And like, you know, what if I said something that I shouldn't have? Or what if it gets perceived a certain way? And if I did this or that and the other, oh, no, 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 no. And then I would review them and they're always fine. If not fine, great. Like, or not even great, like, oh, toot, toot. But where I'm like, there's nothing wrong with this. Like, that's the thing. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, why are you worrying and panicking about all these things and then like just dreading it even coming out or dreading even having to shoot one? I said that today and I've been like reframing how I say things, because I was talking to my mans this morning on the phone. I was like, yeah, like I have to shoot a podcast episode today. And I was like, oh, let me rephrase that. I get to shoot a podcast episode today. Are you kidding me, dude? I get to sit in a room built in my house with sound panels and equipment. I get to film a podcast. I get to have a show. I get to have a show that people listen to and it's just me talking. I get to do that. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? So many people would love to. I get to do that. That's so cool. It's like one of my dreams fulfilled. I wanted to like be on the radio. It was one of like my little side things where I was like, oh, I'd love to do radio. That'd be so cool. And then I'd just be a host and I get to pick all the songs. I get to do that. How cool. You get to do that. What? I get to clean my house. This is my house. I get to keep it clean. What the? That's so cool. How, like, man, it really is a reframing of mind. I don't remember where I was going with that. What was I saying? Damn, I sidebarred way too hard. There's something about... No, so I'm not going to talk about the book. The reframing. The going back. Solo episodes. Here we are. Of course we are. We are solo. And it's been kind of cool. So I know that there's a lot of people don't really invest in the woo-woo. And I get that kind of... Because I used to want to deny it so hard, because at one point I was so into it. And that's something that got kind of like, this is bad, you know, do this and this is stupid if you do this or whatever. And I don't give a f-. I'm whimsical as shit. I cut ties with my need to be perceived. I don't care. I don't care if you don't like something that I say. I don't care if you think that I'm rude because I need alone time. I don't give a shit. I don't care if you don't like how I speak. I don't care if you don't like how I swear a lot. And I don't really give a fuck if you think it's dumb that I like to sit out naked in the moonlight and talk to the moon. I don't give a flying shit. I don't care if you think, you know, that anything I do is dumb, because it probably is. I don't care if anything that you think I do is subpar. Don't care if you like or dislike how I look. I don't care. I like all of these things about me. I like that I'm whimsical. I like that I look out into the sun and just think, God, all of the things I could do today, all of the ideas I will have, all of the worlds I will create, all of the things that I will make happen. And I like that as soon as the sun goes away from gloom, not from the moon is healing. I love the moon, and I love that I love the moon, and I love that I look for the moon every night, and I love that I have to take photos of the moon every time that I see the moon. I love that when the moon is out during the day, I have to stop whatever I'm doing and take a photo or 50 of the moon. I love that all of the photo gallery on my phone is like my naked tits and the moon. I like it. I don't care if you do. I don't care if you don't. I don't care if you think I'm weird or if you think I'm cool. I don't care if you want to be my friend or if you want, you know, you wish for my demise. I don't care. Because this is my world, baby. You're just observing it. Have fun observing. observing. Think what you want. I don't care. It doesn't affect me because nothing that you do or think or say about me can take away from the things that I like about myself that have nothing to do with you or your perception of me or any of the other people that I allow to take part in my life. I don't care. And none of you should either. None of you should care that I don't care. Do you understand? Why do we care about these things that don't matter? Why do we let people into our lives that make us feel like shit? Why are you friends with people who don't like you? Stop. You don't have to do it. You don't have to subscribe. Social norms, what the fuck is that? Who cares? Like yourself. There are things to like about you. Those things that you don't like about yourself, change them. You can do it. Nobody else is going to. Live your life. Take photos of the moon. Take photos of your ass. Sell pictures of your feet. Don't sell pictures of your feet. Hate people who do porn. Do that. Who cares? None of that affects anybody but you. Put out good vibes or don't. None of this really matters. What matters is what you feel in your own life. All of that hate that you let fill you up inside, all of the worry that you have about what people are thinking of you or if they're going to judge you, that is what is ruining your life. And if you want to keep letting it, sick. But I'm not going to. I don't care anymore. How can you create magic in your own life, woo-woo or otherwise, if you have everybody trampling down on your ability to do so? Get people who encourage you to see the whimsy and to see the magic in little things like a tiny flower that's this big that you have to bend over and stop to look at and go, oh, look at the tiny little flower. Those are the things that matter. Nothing else really does. This has been the Totally Wholesome Not Dirty Podcast. Your homework for this week is to find some goddamn whimsy. Or don't. Your homework for this week is to do whatever the f*** you want. Because that's what you're going to do anyway. See you next time.
I get paid to take my clothes off, but here I bear it all for free. Welcome to the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty Podcast, where sex work meets self-work, and we laugh through the chaos one inappropriate joke at a time. I talk, say sex, mental health, industry secrets, and all the stories that made my therapist cry. Cause nothing turns me on like a little validation. Hey baby, maybe got my head in the clouds, but I'm still me. Feeling free, honestly, take me away to a higher vibe. Take me away, let me come alive. Take me away with you. Take a moment, brush it off, let it go. Hey!